Douglas, Douglas Dolphin Us, with you once again here in Dolphinville, Dolphinville Radio, coming at you live from the big island of Hawaii, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, right here on planet Earth, Gaia floating in the middle of our solar system in this great Milky Way galaxy. Welcome. Welcome to another edition where Dolphinville takes us into areas where reality is what we believe it is. Dolphins and whales have been here teaching us to accept new realms of thought, new dimensions of being. Our guest here today is Jim Zernowski, and he's going to be sharing some insights. Welcome, Jim.
Welcome. Thank you, Douglas.
Okay. Jim is going to be here and going to be becoming a permanent member of Dolphinville, just a recent, somebody who's just come over from the mainland and is looking to put himself as part of the community here. Jim is an IET master, that's Integrated Energy Therapy Master Instructor, as well as a Reiki master. He's from, originally, a beautiful Victorian seashore community of Ocean Grove, New Jersey. In addition to this, he's a holistic attorney, a mathematician, and body surfer in his spare time, something that he'll be doing quite frequently out here, I'm sure. His articles have appeared in publications, including Inner Realm Magazine and others, and he currently offers individual IET sessions, that is, the Integrated Energy Therapy sessions for individual clients, as well as becoming and being a master teacher. So he teaches the classes in various parts of the world, and he will be teaching some classes coming up this weekend here on the Big Island of Hawaii. So if you are local and listening to this program, Jim will be giving a program, introduction program, Friday night up at Sky Island Ranch, Joan Ocean Sky Island Ranch. It'll be a free evening starting about 7:30. So as I mentioned, if you're on the Big Island and in earshot of this particular show, I hope you'll take the opportunity to come up and visit us and listen to what Jim has to share. As an attorney, Jim was ever living in an ever-accelerating world, and over the years he had shifted from being a nervous, hurried workaholic to being happier, calmer, more productive, and effective person through the use of these kinds of energy techniques and tools, and in addition to some of the other things that we'll talk about. But by slowing down and observing, he accomplished more in less time. His transition has been easier than he thought it would be, he tells us, but the only thing that was required for him to let go was to let go of the sense of ego and start to listen to his heart in various ways. And many of you who have been tuning into these programs know that this is a process that many of us are coming at right now. We're using different techniques. The dolphins and whales have been a very, very effective tool in us getting in touch with our heart songs, listening to our heart minds, making these kinds of things. Jim has identified the following ten holistic laws of life. And he's labeled them, and he feels that these laws help him attain and maintain a balance of the five stages of total health. The five stages being the physical, the emotional, the mental, the spiritual, and what he calls the blissful. These are all dimensional aspects of our being, you might say. You can apply these laws to your life and obtain the same results, he feels. Let's just go over these 10 laws. Holistic laws. But first, let me remind everybody that this program is being brought to you by the kind, generous support of Photon.net. Randy Barris and his crew have been hard at work providing internet radio broadcasts of the shows from Dolphinville, as well as some fascinating conferences. The Sacred Geometry Conference from Sedona came over the airwaves and the internet live, and this last weekend, or 2 weekends ago, the live broadcast of the Wesak Festival from Mount Shasta. This is information, an informational band that's allowing you to tune in some higher dimensional frequencies. And the people that we enjoy as guests here and some of the musics that we listen to, such as the opening songs from Raphael and Kutera, the famous album called The Calling, which reminds us of all why we're here. But let's get back to Jim Zernowski. Jim, you've been here for a little bit of time, and you're starting to sort of look like Hawaiian already. You're getting a nice deep tan. You have that nice, calm, aloha look on your face. And you've been here coming to Hawaii for about 20 years, didn't you say?
Yes, I first came here in the mid-'80s and went around different islands, and my awareness later was downloaded a lot of the energies that were there, or they were downloaded into me. And that's when my life started to open up and change, going toward my more intuitive receiving side of my brain and being than analytical and thinking side.
Mm-hmm. So this has been part of the transformation. Well, when was it that you wrote this article on the 10 Holistic Laws of Life in 1999? Is that when this came to you, or was it something you were working with before?
Well, certain things happened in my life. There was something I did in the after I had been in Hawaii, my life kind of changed, and I felt different about the world, and just some of the things I had worried about or thought about seemed differently. I interpreted them differently. They didn't feel the same stress or angst, or other things were just easier to enjoy things. So I think a lot of it had to do with being in Hawaii, and there were other changes around that time. A couple of years later in a job, I did something with energy that I didn't realize what I did, because, and I had an out-of-body experience, and now that's one of the methods I teach now in the classes.
Can you describe that event where you had the OBE?
Well, it was I was in a job that I had wanted to get, and I had gone after and talked to the man at one kind of a meeting. As you said, I was a mathematician and an attorney, so I was an actuary as a mathematician, and then tried to complete that after I was an attorney, which at the time there were very few people, maybe 10 in the world, that had done both of those, because they're very, very complicated things, the actuarial science also. So anyway, I was working for a National Trade Association in New York City, and I traveled around with the project several times, different parts of the country. But at one point, I just was kind of bored and didn't feel that good there. So I was sitting there in my office in New York City and would say, get me out of here now, 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 get me out of here now. And I really didn't know who I was talking to or why I was saying that. I didn't really have a resume recent one set up then. I wasn't sending any out. So this happened a couple of times. And then one day it was a Thursday, and I just said pretty loud, get me out of here now, now, now. God, get me out of here now. And I shouted it. And I looked, thought, why am I saying this? And I hope they didn't hear me down the hallway. But the very next day I was called in for a Friday meeting with all of the staff, and then an hour later at 3:30 was called in and told by the man that was in charge of all of us, he was the senior vice president, that I don't know how to tell you this, but we're going to have to let you go, with his southern accent. And at that moment I was up out of my body watching him talking to me, and but in a very calm state. And I didn't really think of this again until about a few years ago. I just let it go. And then within that time they gave me outplacement. It was very expensive and a very wonderful, you know, outplacement they gave me. And the man said it would take about 9 months to figure out what you're doing. But within 2 weeks, I had two wonderful offers, one of which took me traveling around and led to me going to Hawaii at their annual meeting in the mid-'80s. So that's something that we can do. You work using energy like that. It's kind of like the energy that when a woman picks a car up off her child, she doesn't say how many pounds of torque does it take or how many people to lift that car up. She sees a child under the car, taps into that energy, and picks the car up. So this is what one of the methods is that we work with. But unless you know how to, that these methods exist and you're using them, you may accidentally find them or use them, or you may have your own awarenesses of them. But some of them, we can learn to do them all the time. And that's what some people in history have done, you know, some famous, like Jesus and other people. They worked with these energies. And as you know, one of the quotes Jesus said, which was not really religious, but him as a person, was anything I do, you can do these and more. And what he was saying, in my awareness, was that he didn't have time to show us more things, but anything he showed us, we can do those and more. So it's interesting to learn about these energies, either on your own, downloading them or receiving them, or learning it from other people. And that's the primary thing I do, is attune people to energies that I've been downloaded with or brought in with me. I don't always know the difference. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, so let's get back to these 10 holistic laws and see how they might apply to some of the things that you're saying. I'll just list them and give a brief description, and if you want to jump in and say a little bit more other than what's on here, or we can go back and talk about them. The number one thing, and I don't know if this is listed in order of importance, but it seems like there seems to be a connection, is focus. And because energy always follows intent, prioritizing and then consciously choosing where to focus your energy frees you up to accomplish your goals quickly and with the least amount of time and effort. So that's pretty straightforward.
Yes, there's another way to just describe that. It's kind of like something Henry Ford said, but he wasn't the only one. If you believe you can do something, you're right. If you believe you can't do that same thing, you're right. So we're doing this all the time in our lives. and we don't realize it, that we are manifesting exactly what our intent is going toward. And if you think back in your own lives, I'm sure there were things you're interested in, let's say going to college or not, or then changing your mind or your major, or wanting to get married to someone or not. And sometimes things shift, and when your energy shifts, then your life and the energy that comes into it shifts. If you think back, I'm sure we all have examples of that. So this is something we're doing all the time, whether we're consciously doing it or not.
Mm-hmm. So focus, as being the primary point, starts to focus your attention on this process that you're talking about. Energy flows where attention goes.
Yes, it reminds me also now of a story about was it Max Planck, or one of the physicists who won the Nobel Prize in the early 1900s, and said there is a consciousness about these things. And what he was saying, it was this one day in his life that he got to address everybody in the world. What he was saying was that his experiments and everything with physics is affected by the consciousness of the people working with it. Mm-hmm. And another way to describe that is, many books have talked about that scientists or others doing the identical experiment have results vary depending on the expectation of the person doing the experiment. So my awareness of quantum physics and a lot of science is that they find out things that are there, and that's wonderful to share with us, but they don't necessarily create these things. So anytime they say something like that, they're just telling us, or, you know, that it's coming into their realm, and that these energies can be controlled by our thoughts and consciousness, or you want to call it intent or focus.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is evidence in the quantum physics realm that the observer does affect the outcome of what they're observing. And so that's what you're reiterating. And I think that's been kind of a principle that has been kind of a mainstay for the so-called New Age way of thinking about how the process of reality is working upon us, and we're working and co-creating as part of it. So the second point here is called simplicity. Paring down and keeping your life simple and clear of cluttered things provides room in which to grow and allow new people and things to be attracted into your life. So clearing out, making things simple.
Yes, this goes back to some theories you might call feng shui, although those are words from certain society which are very helpful and they work. But yes, it's that. It's part of it that if you clear, like, for example, if you want another person in a relationship but that you don't have one, they say you should leave room in your closets or cupboards, extra room. You create the space first, but it goes beyond that even. If you simplify your life with things you don't need, a lot of things hold energies of ours, like our grandmother gave us that, or that was passed down five generations, or it's a beautiful stone or ring that somebody I'm not with anymore gave me, or whatever it is. They all have energies, and more clearly is that you have some emotional attachment to these things. And I've gone through several layers, and I'm still going through that now. When moving here, to get down, I went from a three-bedroom house to a condo and several layers of that, because I had once rented out some properties, and when I had extra furniture, one time I paid guys and brought all the furniture back from one of the houses, and I just couldn't bring it up the steps into where I live now, because it just would have cluttered the place up. And even though it was some, you know, they had meaning to me, I let it go. So when you let go of these things, another way, one of my friends told me, was to just keep only things that juice you or that really turn you on or that you really like. Like clothing, if you don't really love it, don't have it anymore. I'm saying, so everything you look at in your life then empowers you more toward joy and feeling good rather than keeping you neutral or just being there. You walk by it and kind of squint or don't really look at it, but it can be from an old pair of sneakers to something else.
And it is a challenge sometimes to let go of that of certain items. And even though you don't have the energetic attachment, there's some sentimentality that still keeps it around, that old tattered shirt or something, right?
Yes. Well, I could see a lot of people here have done this and are still doing that. And a lot of them that go back, for example, between Mount Shasta and Hawaii, or many of you, like yourself and others that have moved here, I'm sure have pared down a lot of what you've had in your life and probably feel much freer because of it. We can look to the turtle as an example. The turtle has its old home and everything it owns on its back.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of Winnebago owners would agree with that. For myself, yes, it was a situation where I reduced everything I owned down to a couple of boxes and two suitcases with a guitar in tow. And that moved 20 years of my life away from me and allowed me to step out of that. So I think it's an important thing to realize that as you're starting to go on your spiritual path, or if you're involved in your spiritual path, to do a kind of a spiritual house cleaning and let go of those things that are not feeding your energy, feeding your joy and bliss, and just put your energy into those things that do.
Yes, that's very true.
The third point here is a word that I always associated with Don Juan and Carlos Castaneda. It's called impeccability, and he spoke of it in terms of the spiritual warrior that he was training Carlos Castaneda to be. You're referring to it as living life impeccably by more and more doing what you know deep inside is the right thing to do for you, and in each and every circumstance giving yourself a peace of mind by doing it, a clear conscience and a maximum clarity in your purpose of life. So rather than hedging yourself or compensating for what might be considered polite even, or trying to save yourself from some embarrassment perhaps, actually just moving straight towards what is the right thing for you.
Yes, I would give examples again about yourself and other people here that coming to Hawaii or not is an example. You could have waited 5 minutes or 5 years or until you retire to come, or you could take steps. And it's as simple as every day you decide in the morning here, again, whether to go swim with the dolphins at 6:30 or 7 or not at all, or go to the library or do something on the internet. And these are the things that what does your heart tell you to do then? So if you're true to that and don't do things because you have to or feel you do, it opens up your life. I mean, I guess I've almost forgotten what it felt like. A lot of times I just keep working and going to things that I didn't really love. My education allowed me to have those jobs, and so I think a lot of us have gone through that, where we phased out of things that didn't feel right to us. Some of us, it took longer than others, and some of us needed life-changing events, like our backs going out, or tumors, or cancer, or a heart attack, or just stress, or some of us listen to the what our soul or higher self tells us, and some have to have more than one experience before we do. But sometimes it's just our heart tells us, and we do it, so...
Impeccability also, to me, represents integrity, and integrity in your actions and being true to yourself, speaking your truth, even in the face of aversion or somebody who would disagree with what your opinion might be, and not necessarily bullying somebody into your opinion or trying to overcome somebody with some kind of realm of power, but just being in your own truth. I think that would be a good way of characterizing impeccability.
Yes, yes, and I still go through that, as we all do, but we can go further each time. Like, sometimes I think, who am I to talk about or even present these methods to heal people when I was trained as a mathematician and attorney, but that's not who I am. Those are things I could do very well, and I was very good at them, but this is who I came to be, and so that's what I'm doing, and each time I put an ad out or a brochure or come on the show, it's still going through... barriers or expanding boundaries for me. And I remember the old Do It book, not old, but it was one of the first really books that was on my path that opened me up a lot in the early 90s. It was a bestseller, number one bestseller, and it was printed by the people who wrote it because no one else would print it. Then when they wrote their second book, You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought, a lot of people offered to print it, but they didn't need it then because they had already done it. But they talk about these kind of things. And again, if you believe you can do something, you're right. If you believe you can't do it, you're also right.
Equally right. So each one of these things, one feeds the other, kind of coupled together.
Yes.
Well, the fourth point on this list of 10 holistic laws is what you call joy. And joy is a wide open lens of feeling that all of us have identified differently, perhaps. But you identify it as by each day moving more and more towards the things that bring you joy, and away from those things that bring you non-joy. And you can attain a state of bliss, confidence, and power because you are feeling so good as a result of the daily choices that you've made. Today, our total joy and bliss is your true state of being. And how much pleasure can you stand?
Yes, there's one thing we could say about joy as a definition, and that's dolphins. So if you look at dolphins, they live in joy. They flip, but they're in joy, they're together, you can see their face, looks like they're smiling, but they're in joy, and that's what they're teaching us to do and be. So yeah, I can remember back to myself where I used to get up and try to get to work right away and then get home from there or get somewhere else, and I always wanted to get to the next place, right? And I realized when I got out of that, which I don't really know how I did it because, you know, a lot of people have books and talk about things, but they don't tell you how to do them, so that's why the energies I'm working with here teaches people how to do these things and in tunes them to that. But when I was still in that just adding a couple of one or two stops on the way to work for myself, like stopping at the dry cleaners or it sounds silly or whatever it was, and adding that to my day because I used to commute 1 or 2 hours each way for 20 years or longer, different jobs to New York and to North Jersey, driving through the densest populated state in the United States, as we take, any of you may not live through that kind of, you know, where it was, you didn't even have a minute, but the way I would explain it when I wrote this, which it seems like another person now, was if you have 5 minutes of joy to your day instead of none, and then if you're at 10 another time, and then 20, eventually it starts getting 50-50, and then it can go further and further. Some of you may have grown up with joy all your life. I mean, I remember back when I was growing up, my friends and I used to go on bicycle hikes every Saturday for miles, and we'd go out in any direction through the farms, and it was fun, and those kind of things. And we used to go to the beach and body surf, and that was wonderful too. But then later when I went to school and got involved in commuting, and then you get into where your physical body even cannot maybe do so much, that you go to work and you don't, by the time you get home 1 or 2 hours each way, you might just get something to eat, but you don't really maybe swim or run or walk on the boardwalk or whatever it is you like to do. Even listen to music, you may do that. But so the more, if you are or ever were, you know people that are not enjoying, encourage them to do the things they enjoy, whether it's taking a nap or whatever it is. No one can tell someone else what they enjoy. It's their own heart. It's their compass.
I know oftentimes I'll be in a traffic jam in one of the bigger cities, and people are stuck, and you can see road rage building up, veins popping out of the neck. And I'm thinking to myself, well, here they are. They're totally outraged at their condition, and they're in such a hurry to get to some place so then they can start to be happy. They put everything on hold, their happiness, their well-being, their joy, until they are through this traffic jam. And so, therefore, the traffic jam becomes the object of their anger, when indeed it's all themselves.
Yeah, that's why a couple of things you reminded me of recently was I remember reading that most heart attacks happen on Monday mornings or Mondays, so people go back to work. But also I heard something recently which I forgot about, which was about Wednesday being hump day. And if you think about what that means, it means that you made it through 3 days, so it's only two more days to what? Till the weekend, which means what? Till I can have fun or enjoy. And that's really a sad thing, but I mean, I went through that a lot myself. And so what I teach people now is how to clear these things that are blocking us, because sometimes just you and I now speaking about it, or anybody can't help people, or reading about it doesn't always help them. So what we clear are blockages in the physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and karmic levels, all levels of the person. And these are things that were stored because they were more than the person could deal with at the time it happened. And we could talk more about that, unless it's appropriate now. There's a story about the Titanic. That's my example I use. Like, if you were on the Titanic, and you were there with your brother and his family and your sister and your parents, and all of a sudden it was sinking, and your sister and cousin, your mother just died, and your father and brother are there, and your wife, and you could sit there and cry your eyes out, and you're heartbroken as you are, but the other ones might die, and even yourself. You also would be angry because how could they tell us this couldn't sink and look what happened? You feel betrayed, but if you sit there screaming and yelling, again, you can't help people. You might feel guilty because you encouraged your sister to come against her. She didn't want to, and here now she's dead. And then, so you would have guilt you couldn't deal with at the moment. You could have distrust. How could I ever believe anybody? They say God couldn't sink the ship, and it's not even across the ocean on its first voyage, and it's going down. Then you have fear, powerlessness, stress. You don't know who to put in the boat or not before you send it off so it doesn't sink with too many people. And you don't know if anybody's going to be saved. You have powerlessness. The big boat might go down and take you all. So this is just an example. All of these things you could feel at one moment. Shoulds and should nots. Who should I let on? Who shouldn't I? You feel threat. If any more people get on, the boat's not going to make it. So if you could feel all these things at one moment, you can imagine what it's like. Then during our lives, we have different ways, like when we don't have enough money for days or weeks or months or years, or don't think we do, or when we're a child and we're a family, we may not feel comfortable, or in kindergarten, or we want to get out of there, but we can't. So whatever it is, when we couldn't deal with it at the time it happened, these things get stuffed in our energy field as blocks, and we can release them through this method and these attunements. And that's what we do. So every time a person has a session or an attunement, or gives a session to someone, they release more and more, and as a result, their overall state of being is more joyful and peaceful than it was before, always. So they may still have ups and downs, but they don't last as long. They're not as... sometimes they might go deep, but it's not for very long because you're actually getting down, scrubbing out to whatever, it's something really deep. And it's more and more of a, instead of no pay, no gain, it's no pleasure, no treasure.
And the issues in your tissues. And we'll get to that a little bit. But first, let's take a little bit of a musical interlude. Let people think about the Titanic and how it applies to their own spiritual body, so to speak. Some of the things that we've laid upon ourselves. And we'll just come back after a couple minutes. Just think about this. And we'll cover some more of these holistic laws and get into some of the therapies that Jim is talking about. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Mahalo.
Dolphinville Live on the radio. We're spending time with a new transplant from New Jersey, Jim Zarnowski, who's come to join Dolphinville, be part of the community here. We've been talking about Jim's take on the 10 holistic laws of life that he wrote about 1999 precisely, but these are applicable ways of looking about how we can start to transcend the cultural matrix, the one that we've been overlaid and grown into, and how we can start to release ourselves from those kinds of binding things. We've gone over four of the 10 holistic laws: focus, simplicity, impeccability, joy. And the fifth one's something that Jim calls being. As a human being, he puts, you need to remind yourself to be rather than to do. Being shows that you are shows you a way that your productivity and efficiency actually increases. Doing is to support the being rather than allowing your ego to just keep busy doing things such as paddling faster or faster with or without a proper direction, often upstream against the current. So being is being in that state of self-awareness and complicity in a way. How would you describe being?
Well, sometimes in our life, either at our work or at home, some of us, at some times or all the times for others, are have to be doing something, you know, just cleaning the dishes, then mowing the lawn, then doing the laundry. And I felt that way somewhat growing up, where my father would, what are you doing? Just, I don't know how often it was, but if you were just sitting there in the chair during the day or not doing something, it was like you may get yelled at or told to do something. So I don't know if that's what happened to me at that time, but I was always active. I was able to do many things and get them done, and it was good. And then at work, I took that to my jobs, and you'd always be writing something, analyzing it, or working on it, or programming it, or whatever it is. And if you didn't have a pen going or reading something, it was like you're not functioning. But as I started phasing out of my work and doing the healing work and did both for a few years and traveled on weekends to like a 4-day weekend, flew to Ireland and taught classes and then came back, what happened was I would spend, like sometimes a project would come in or an issue because I was a corporate counsel for an insurance company and something might come in and the earlier way to approach it would have been start working it, researching it, and doing things. But sometimes it didn't feel right to work on it then, so I would take in the information and talk to people about it, but didn't have to start actually doing something. And what happened is in a few days it would turn out whether what I would have first done wasn't applicable and wasn't going to help it, or that answers or resolutions or some things would just not need to be addressed, they would disappear. I realized things were getting done more effectively by being, but you could call it meditating. That's one way of being. Another way is being with the dolphins, being with the whales, or being at the beach. And a lot of times, this is true for me even now. Even the show is an example because we talked a little bit about it, but we didn't have other than a few words put down, kind of like these 10-10 laws, except different. But because it's coming through now, and it's going to come through in the right way more than if I had just written it. We do need to do research sometimes and prepare for things, but we don't have to always do, because we can receive. And they say Buddha could have meditated in Grand Central Station. And so that's kind of it. If you're being, as things are going on around you, you can receive answers and information and awareness, as we do with the dolphins, from the dolphins. But you'll receive it, whether it's from the dolphins or your angels or your guides or whoever you believe in. By being, you can allow that in. If you're always doing, sometimes you're not able to receive that, including in a relationship even with a person, whether it's a brother or your partner in life. If you're always doing, some people work and work because they're afraid of being intimacy. So being will prevent that. I mean, doing would prevent that if you didn't be. And sometimes we get nervous and we're a little bit, maybe lack self-esteem or whatever. I don't know all the reasons, but we may just feel uncomfortable at first just being with our partner when no one's speaking. Some people have to always be speaking, or they feel the silence. So a lot of people here I know have changed, and they're more open to silence and spending time alone on this island. It's wonderful. And I enjoy the time I'm with people here, but I also enjoy the time alone and might get much more effective results toward a goal or something I wanted to manifest by being just being.
I agree. I think that's one of the beautiful pleasures of being here, is being. And you're accessing the power of now, to use the popular book title. It's an aspect of your awareness which isn't attached to something that came before or something that you might be doing. And usually in the act of doing, that's what you're processing. Aspects of whatever you were coming from to wherever you were going, you're in the process of going from past to future, and you skip right over the now, which is where the state of being is.
And if you go back to the cetaceans being their species and us being, what are we called? Human beings. Think about it. We're in a human body being. That's what we came to be.
And that's a tough one. I mean, a lot of people think, well, gee, you know, I have to do something. I have to have a job, or I have to go to school, or I have to do something in order to give myself a sense of worth.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that job, because one thing I learned once when I was at someone's seminar in California a few years ago, and he was talking about something else. I think his name was Joel Richards, but he was on the radio out there and very famous, apparently the most popular, or one of the most listened to people, and then he lost. Something happened with the sound in the studio, and his ears had a ringing. I think it's called sinusitis, but maybe it wasn't only that, for about a year, and he had trouble even sleeping. But one thing he said within that seminar was the ancient language prior to Hebrew even, and that language had a word, and every meaning has its own word, but the word for work and the word for worship has its own meaning. Aramaic was the language. And the word for work and the word for worship was the same word. And that, when I heard that, I was already doing this work now, which is what I came to be and do, is help others to help themselves. And that's what I do. That's how I describe what I'm doing, to enjoy their lives and live their soul's purpose. So what it means is your work is your worship. So like if you have the baker that gets up at 2 a.m. every day to bake wonderful bakery at Groot's. He's not doing that for the money. He's not doing that. I mean, he may not make a lot of money. But whatever it is you're doing, if you're a plumber and you love it and you take care of it, there's a man in my hometown now. He has several guys working for him, and he always keeps them busy, and he has about 50 jobs on his desk at all times, and he makes a good income, but he doesn't do it. Nobody could do that for that reason. He does it because he likes to take care of people's problems, and he feels good about it. And think about what he gets back every day. He helps people. He gets much love and gratitude. So I don't know if he consciously thinks of that. So it's whatever you're doing, if that's who you are and it brings you fulfillment and empowerment and you like it, that's how you find what you came to be. So again, look to your heart, and swimming with dolphins helps us to open our heart to what we love.
And these are kind of like lined up in the same way. We were talking about first focus, simplicity, impeccability, joy, and now being. All of them sort of interlinked with one another, because as you start to focus your attention and you start to simplify your life, you can learn what it's like to be in your truth, your impeccability. It'll bring up the joy, and in that state of joy is gratitude. And when you're totally in joy and gratitude, you're totally in your state of being, in your state of nowness. And this brings us to point number six, one of my favorite things, serendipity, which means different things to different people. It's sort of the spontaneous aspects of allowing spirit to work in your life. And you say here, being aware of and giving acknowledgement and gratitude for synchronistic events in your daily life that anchors them in and increases their frequency. So being aware of those synchronistic events that are going on. If you're in a state of synchronicity, it's often been said that that's when spirit is really coming through, and you can start to see how things line up and what were coincidences line up so deep that coincidence is no longer a term that has meaning. So I believe that that's kind of a sign that you're on your spiritual path when you're allowing serendipity to be a part of your life.
Yes, like some people might say, well, the phone just rang and I knew who it was before they answered, and then they think that's all there is to it, and they just think, oh, that's great, and they tell people about it, but they don't really realize what's going on. So the more these things happen, the more we can tap into them and use them. And that's what our, again, whether it's dolphins or angels or guides are trying to bring us more connection to, whether you want to call it other dimensions or just the energies we are working with and can. So the more we work with them, my awareness became to acknowledge it and say thank you, give gratitude, and then they will even give you more and more quickly. And it reminds me of one thing we teach in the Healing Angels of the Energy Field class, when we go through nine angels working with different areas of energies. Angel Sarah is the one that brings us empowerment and joy. And to me, if you're in joy in your life, everything else, all the other things are in balance, or they're there, because you are taking your, that's the result of all of this, is to go into your joy. But one thing she says is that every time we go through a door, they will open another door, our angels or guides. And so if it takes us 5 minutes or 50 years to go through a door, like to finally find be honest to ourselves and be with the person we really care about, or do the work that we really enjoy rather than doing it because we studied it and we needed to make money, or we're told to do that, and then we had the education so we stayed in it until we retired, or we couldn't have joy until our kids got through college and then they had kids, so the grandkids. So whatever it is, if we go through a door in 1 second, or 5 minutes, they will open another door and another so fast that our head will spin. So that's kind of what this is. If you acknowledge these things and take them and anchor them in, whether it's getting a parking lot at the Choice Mart or Costco or whatever it is, or whether it's the dolphins being there, the more you acknowledge it and go forward to your joy, and your heart's compass tells you what your joy is, then they will bring more and more and more into your life. Sometimes in doing that, though, other things that we're used to or we've put up with or tolerated become less and less able for us to be in or be with. So some people who annoy us or hurt us that we put up with because we're compassionate, nice, loving people might become less and less able to for us to be around or to have in our lives. So it doesn't mean it's always the changes are not always going to be. They're going to take us to what we enjoy, but at the moment they may not seem that. We may lose our job. It may be a job that we didn't want to have anymore anyway. Like after 9/11, a lot of industries had a lot of things happen, and they blamed a lot of it on that, and that's maybe a 3D kind of thing, but some of it wasn't related to that directly. And a lot of people, my awareness was, that didn't want to be in certain careers anymore, immediately tried to get that same career back which they couldn't because there weren't enough jobs, because the economy is always changing. And so because they didn't leave it voluntarily, our first response is, let's get back. Just like, let's keep the relationship going. Don't break my heart. Don't leave me. Come back. Even though we didn't want to be in it anymore. Or don't, please, I have to get a job back in computers technology, even though I really wanted to be a chef or a baker. And now I can do that because I got a severance package, but I still want to get back to the other job I had. So that's kind of the thing. Acknowledge what it is when you're being pushed toward the things that you love, even if it's against our will, holding on to a relationship that's not working, and the person breaks up with us anyway, then please, you know, acknowledge it and go forward toward it. And sometimes that's the being again. Just trust and give it a little time and tap into your heart's desire, which is the manifestation and the focus again.
You kind of have to leave room for the serendipity, in other words. You can't just tighten down your life so much that there isn't any room for some kind of spontaneous thing to come in. So what you're saying is, like, allow yourself to be loose enough to allow these synchronistic events to take on and have meaning. Because let's say that three synchronistic things happen, but if you were paying attention, you went right on by them, and they wouldn't have the significance.
That's absolutely true. And also, sometimes our ego or mind talks us out of them. Because, let's say, you wanted to go to Hawaii, and you plan a trip in 1 year or 2 years or next year, and you're saving money and you're taking a dance class, and then someone comes up all of a sudden and says, my friend just canceled on our Hawaiian trip. Do you want to go next Thursday? And your immediate response is, I can't. I didn't give 2 weeks' notice at work. I don't have enough money. But really what you're saying is, I didn't plan this time to go, even though I want to go. But I'm not listening to myself because there's all these reasons I can't go. But if you ask your boss, maybe they would tell them the circumstances. And by the way, maybe the trip will be for free. Because someone can't use the ticket, or very special deals come like that from our guides. So we talk ourselves out of it right away and say, I didn't get 2 weeks' notice, I can't do it. Or I didn't finish my dance class or I'm taking her. And maybe 10 days or 3 days away from whatever class it is, you could still complete it, but to take the trip. But we block ourselves. There was another story about the person who was looking for trying to attract in the right partner, and he kept putting ads out and everything, and more and more clearing sessions, he would get closer to that. But one time he came in and said he finally met the person that he really wanted to meet, and they looked just like him, that was the right person and everything. And then when asked what was their name, he said, I didn't actually talk to the person. Why would someone like that be interested in me? So, again, we ask for things, and then when they come to us, we're not ready. You ever been that way? You think, well, it looks like a person I would really like to meet or go out with, but I wish I took a shower today instead of going to the mall first or getting coffee. Or I wish I lost 5 more pounds like I wanted to, so we were dressed differently today, and then maybe I'll meet her again or him, and then I'll talk to them. So we do that a lot, but the thing is, the angels and guides will keep presenting us these things that we ask for. But sometimes it's like they're dragging us through with our feet stuck in the ground. We don't want to. We fight for the things we ask for, and we fight against when they come.
So after you've attained this state and of being, you're suggesting that then you can start to enjoy your life if you can allow these events to be spontaneous and accept that a serendipitous, synchronistic happening is right there. It's happening every day, but you so often talk yourself out of it, and this is one of the problems that we have. It's kind of curious because this kind of dovetails into the next point, point number 7, which you call manifesting. That's the big buzzword in the New Age circles. People are always talking about manifesting reality and manifesting abundance and manifesting, a different lifestyle, manifesting joy and happiness, taking the world and taking it seriously because you are having a direct effect upon it. You're saying by consciously deciding and choosing what you really want in your life, you can co-create your reality and get to be the star of your own movie script rather than being a bit player in someone else's movie. So that's what manifesting is for you.
Yes. Yes. A lot of times we don't really, we wait to see, and there was somebody I was speaking to recently who said, her family was that way now, that they wait to see what everybody wants to do. And I mean, it's not about being indifferent to that, but it's, and a lot of the people weren't that happy in the family, so what happens is they don't live their joy because they feel more joyful on their own, and they would, I said to them, they would actually help the others by taking more charge and living their own joy. Because when you live in your own joy and do the things that you love, you then teach your family members and friends to go toward their joy, whether they do it with you or 5 years later or later on in life or right then, that they're seeing a person who is in joy. A lot of us don't think we deserve it sometimes, or we were taught you have to work hard and, you know, get 2 weeks vacation a year or something. So manifesting is energy following intent. And one thing to manifest is to have a belief that it can happen, and there are knowing. I call it more of a knowing, the psychic children calling it just pretend. James Twyman works with the psychic children. They said just pretend. I once said to somebody about a year ago when they asked me, what do I mean by that? I just said, just decide. It's like you decide something, or you know it, or you pretend it, or whatever the word, you don't need. We try to use words to describe what's happening already. But again, all of these things that I help people to have in their lives, the energetic attunement, you want to call it, or bringing energies in or expanding what's coming into them is what helps them do it. We can still have this happening now as we're talking and they're listening. That will still happen because the words and the energy with them is happening. But the attunements are the key to some of these methods. It's not, if you had a manual or looked at it or read a book, sometimes it doesn't work as much because if we don't have the energy moving through us, it's not going to empower it. So one thing is that if you believe something or want to manifest it, then you're only 95% believing that it's going to happen. That's why some people say that they do these daily rituals and say things, affirmations, but they may not work because they don't really believe it. And that's like Greg Braden talks about the lost mode of prayer, which is, that came out after we were doing, you know, already a certain method that we teach, which was that called respectfully demanding, but it's the same thing as the lost method of prayer in the Isaiah Dead Sea Scroll, which talks about your power center being where you pray from. And that's why if you go into a church or a sacred place, quote, and you don't feel anything sometimes, because the people there didn't feel it that way. They were just saying the words maybe rotely. But if you go other places, you can feel the energy if the church is empty even, because, or the shrine or the heiau, because they felt it. So we align our power center with our intent and our will. And by bringing these energies through us, that's what manifests things. So another thing about manifesting is to look for the result that you want, not the means, because my awareness is that limits and restricts us almost all the time. That's what's stopping us. Is like, for example, there was a man in the Do It book again. They asked him what he wanted in his life. He said, I want $1 million. They said, why? So I could travel the world. Well, he could have gotten a job on a steamship or a cruise ship or just took off with a backpack, but he thought he needed $1 million, so he didn't need $1 million. So that's why, ask for what you want, not the interim steps you think to get it, because my awareness, again, is our mind or ego or our thoughts can only be aware of certain amounts. Even Einstein, the more things he learned, the more he knew. And I think he said once, and I have the quote home, that imagination is much more important than knowledge, so, or information. So, again, imagination is more important. And I read one time years ago when I was on the beach an article that said if you dream or if you fantasize about things at that time, it's because we have different words now. But if you just fantasize, like someday I could live in Hawaii, or someday I'd like to go to this place, or some. A lot of the people here are already doing this and they come here. But if you fantasize something, then at least someday if it gets presented to you through an ad in the newspaper that says that flights are on sale to this place, or you can at least create the opportunity to act on it more quickly than if you never even fantasized about it or thought about it. So that can help to get us ready by thinking about what we really would feel the most joy from in our lives.
Mm-hmm. There was somebody who once said that if you believe in this process of manifestation, you can ask your angels to help you, but then get out of the way and let them do the job. So in a way, that's what you're saying.
Yes. Exactly.
And again, serendipity, you must accommodate that. So whatever's coming in, if that's the opportunity, at least be discerning and say, okay, that opportunity is here. I'm going to seize that opportunity. That's part of the manifestation process then.
Yes, some of the biggest things in my life that have gone forward were happened. A little thing happened, and it was just a choice at that moment. Which one, do I really want to do that or not? And even if I'm a little afraid or nervous about it, I decided at the last minute to go to college because I really didn't have any intent to go necessarily. And then I ended up doing very well in math. And then similar thing in law school when I went on jury duty for 3 weeks when I was an actuarial student working for a company as an actuary mathematician. After a three-week trial, I asked one of the three lawyers, one lawyer was fighting three others the whole 3 weeks, what major did you have to have? And he said, none, any major. So I took tests just to qualify for law school and did extremely well, but I never would have known that. I never really had the intent to go. So then I made a decision, and it took me through a wonderful path that helped me get other places to who I am. So I never knew what I wanted to do when I was young. They would ask us in school, and most of the boys would say lawyer or doctor or fireman, and the women would say nurse or teacher. And I would think, I don't know what I want to do. And they would say, you have to know. And I thought, well, these people, their mothers are telling them what to say, and I don't think they're all going to be lawyers and doctors. So I kind of lived my life that way, but I didn't always realize it. But this is a way to acknowledge it and do it consciously, in the sense that you're every day kind of saying, what's going to come in? I may not go to the beach. All of a sudden, I might turn off and go and meet somebody in a coffee shop accidentally and hang out with them, and they're going to give me information or just be with me. So it's a way to live your life, and I don't really have any plans except coming back here after the next 2 weeks. I don't have any classes scheduled anywhere in the world, and that's how I've lived the last couple of years after, you know, most of my life living, going to school with schedule or going to offices every day. So it's a wonderful freedom for me. Some people may have traveled the world when they were 18 and 16, had lived a different life all along, so...
It's allowing the life to come to you, though. When I moved here 7 years ago, nearly now, one of the things that came to me was the great sage Michael Jordan, when he used to say, let the game come to you. And that was a matter of relaxing and allowing the process to become part of your life. Let it integrate into your life rather than trying to force the issue. And so as Michael Jordan would do in one of his famous games, he would be just there playing with the game rather than trying to control the game. And when he allowed it to come with him, then he did his most magnificent performances. So on an individual basis, oftentimes when we allow the energy to come to us in the serendipitous way, then the manifesting starts to unfold very, very simply, very, very beautifully, and that leads to the joy and all of the other things. So the next thing after manifesting on your list of holistic laws of life is something you call holding. Now, holding has a connotation, but in this sense, you say by slowing down and being patient, you allow things to take shape in their own appropriate time and unfold in their own due course, rather than trying to hurry or force them. Very much what I was saying before. Efficient resolution is maximized as a result. So if you let the game come to you, you're kind of holding, is what you're describing. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. One example is the whales. I spent 2 weeks this February and March in the Caribbean with the whales, and one thing they do is, well, I noticed when I got near them the first time was I just started breathing. I just guessed about one-fifth as often as I breathe normally, even in the water, and I didn't know why that was happening. At first, I thought it would try to rationally think of a reason, and I thought, well, maybe it's because it felt like I didn't want to disturb the whale so it would move, like, you know, what do you call it, like scare it a little. But that was kind of impossible, really, right? So I realized in each time that would happen, so other people told me that it happened to them. So again, it's slowing down, and whales and turtles can slow down their heartbeat to almost nothing. I was told the turtles can. Like, if they get scared or chased, they can go underwater. They have to breathe every so often, as whales do. They can slow their heartbeat down to almost not negligible, so that they can stay under longer. And that's kind of a mini explanation of just that we can just hold and receive, and sometimes it's not the right time to do something. Could be the example if you're at a red light and there's a traffic jam and it's one car is getting through every green light. Well, you could sit there and get angry, upset, and hit your horn, or you could just hold it. Maybe you can't change that. And so by holding, you allow things to come in. You don't always have to be in motion. As the whales go down and stop, a lot of times we would follow them until they would stop and then just lay over them like seaweed and observe them, and they would come up and breathe, but they would hold, and then I think they were teaching us that. So it's true in our everyday life. We don't have to keep doing holding. Sometimes is the way to get to the next step.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of a nice lead into the next point that you're making, number 9, which you identify as navigating. And your description here reminds me of what I've called surfing in a metaphorical sense. You're surfing the waves. Be aware of your environment at all times in your navigating description. Navigation observing, evaluating, feeling, and then adjusting to maintain balance while riding the waves of life will move you faster and farther along than being plowed under by a big wave or frantically paddling in a calm sea when there's no waves to ride. So that's the analogy I love about how energy comes in beautiful waves. As we sensitize ourselves to the energy waves as they affect us, because all of us are affected by different frequency energy waves. And so what might be an enormous wave for somebody, your neighbor, may not have any effect on you at all. So part of the discernment in the unfoldment of life is recognizing these energy waves and how to navigate yourself so that you can maximize that force of the wave itself rather than being balled over by being in the wrong position. So it's knowing yourself in space as energy moves through you.
Yes, and that's something that the dolphins teach us every time we're with them or observe them or see them on a movie, or I mean a movie that is made with dolphins being free, that they navigate the way the ocean is at that time, how rough it is, and they show us how to propel ourselves out of the water. But when I was body surfing growing up, and even throughout now, I still love it. That was one of the most exhilarating things I ever felt in my life, and still is. And it's when you get that wave, you could take a wave that's 3 feet high and ride it 50 or 100, or I don't know how far feet, because it's not the height of the wave always, it's the arc of it, the exact arc of it, and the way they're breaking. And if it's a certain tide, then you can't ride them too much. Or if they're breaking right by the shore, you don't have far you're going to go, but you're going to get smacked down, like in Oahu, there's a beach down south, I think it's called, I forgot the name of it. But
White Sands Beach is also known as Tragic Slams Beach here.
Yeah, yes. So, one thing I remember when I was body surfing sometimes was as I would be riding the wave all the way down by the sand, and it's just pushing me along, that if I could just move my arm a little bit, or my leg, or my hip, or twist a tiny bit, I could catch a little more of the wave, even though it was already breaking, and go a little different, faster, or farther. And I remember how attuned to your body you can be to do that. It was after doing it many, many times, and I think the dolphins are showing us that with their flipping and twisting and everything they're doing, that navigating is, and the people that came from Polynesia are the ones that brought the people here to Hawaii, as well as the Noni, on their rafts. And if they were rowing, but if you're by yourself and you're out in the ocean, there's no waves, you're not going to get too far if you keep paddling. Maybe you have to wait there and hold until the waves come, and then you can ride them. So these things are intertwined.
One thing leading to the other. Which brings us to the last point in this cycle, and they're kind of one connected to the other. And you're identifying this as nutrition, sort of feed yourself, and metaphorically, again, feed yourself not only what you put in your body as food, but what you allow to come into your realm of spirit, your energy fields. Listen to and properly nourish your body, mind, and spirit. This allows you to fully experience all the senses during your time on this earth. So nutrition is really being open to all of those positive energetic sources that would be available to you.
Yes, and another thing I've identified even these last 2 weeks kind of brought it together more is that the dolphins are really doing this with us and for us, and the people that are out there every morning at 6:30 or 7, as well as later in the day. But there's a lot I've read about sunlight, and that the early morning sunlight in the ancient countries of the world, like China and certain islands, the people do their exercises and certain, if you want to call them meditations or movements, in the early morning sunlight, right at dawn and a little bit after. So when I had that awareness last week when we were out there, a lot of people had barely, when it's getting light over the mountain with the dolphins, and we're getting that sunlight of the early morning on us, and they're getting us out there to do that. What they're also doing is bubbles of joy, which they blow and which come through us and heal us and balance us. And another thing is making us be out in the ocean where we're getting salt and mineral baths, and we're able to take in minerals through our body and the salt. And they're also teaching us how to breathe through our nose and hold our breath more, which is certain things that happen. And the Noni, I realized just the last couple of days, I've been taking Noni for 6 years now, Tahitian Noni, because I didn't live in Hawaii and couldn't get it. That was brought from Polynesia, and that's something that, to me, is one of the most amazing foods on the planet. And the more time goes on, the more it's becoming known with certain books. I can mention some here that I recently gave to a charity in Hawaii that takes care of the ancient heiaus. And that book, which is called The Hawaiian Healing Herbs, which is written by Kalua Kaihur with Martha Noyes, a book of recipes with the plants that are used. And this past week at the Holistic Health Fair, a man who has been on the earth a long time told me a lot of stories about himself and his parents on Hawaii giving him these plants. But under the page on Noni, it says, to me, the Noni is the most important of the herbs used for medicine. It has helped many people. And there's another book I have with the sacred sites of Hawaii, and that book, again, on one of the heiaus in Oahu, where I've been and taught next to it. It was an ancient 1,000-year-old healing heiau, and they used a lot of plants as well as other healing methods, which we don't remember, we don't know. Maybe the Hawaiians still know. The Noni's growing all around that. But in that book, the book is called Exploring Lost Hawaii, Places of Power, History, Mystery, and Magic. It talks by Ali and William Crow. It talks about under the Keoua heiau, Noni being, Francine says that this is an absolute miracle plant. And she gives examples of how it helped certain people with certain things. So everybody here knows as they go to a place of refuge, which itself was a place that people would be protected from danger and other things. You can't go through the park now and get to the beach over there without going through the lava rocks covered with noni trees and palm trees. Nothing else is growing there, not weeds. So and when we go to the dolphins, we go past these things. So they're showing us, again, this food is good for us. And, I mean, that's just an awareness I've had to share this with everybody. Because it's right here on Hawaii, and it's all over Hawaii, and the Polynesians brought it here. It grows all the way around the world near the equator. Bears fruit every 28 days, like the lunar cycle, like the women's cycle. And I have a book here by Dr. Neil Solomon that has about, I don't know, 150 nutraceuticals that are in it. And the last time I saw that book, it was a few years ago, I had copies of it. It had about 40. So it's a vibrational food on the planet. So I really believe with the salt water, the dolphins are getting us in, the mineral baths, the sunlight, which is healing, brings vitamin D, which goes into calcium in our bodies, and we cannot OD on vitamin D that comes in through the sun. You can't take too much. And the noni helps everything you swallow to get into your body, whether it's medicine, food, and it helps to balance the glands and goes into the pineal gland. I could talk to you a lot about that. If anybody wants more information, they can contact me. And you can get the noni right here and pick it. You don't have to buy it. But if you do want to buy a better tasting one, there's ways to do that. So I really encourage you all to be taking that every day of your life. A maintenance dose is about 1 ounce. And it was used for thousands of years by the Polynesians and others. Noni means to mix. The name of the plant is Marinta citrifolia. Noni just means to mix, which means to they mixed it externally and internally to cure many, many things. And really what it does is balance the glands and the organs. It goes into the pineal gland. And Dr. Mona Harrison has a tape about that I have handy for people. And that, she said each gland controls the ones below it. So that's why that tape is called What Every Doctor Should Know About Noni. And it controls all the glands below it, the thymus, the thyroid, the adrenals, so it can help your sexual organs, be men or women, your pancreas, your liver, to be balanced. And the pineal gland shuts down, some say, when we're about 40, if we don't use it and we don't know how to use it. And some scientists and doctors have said that it's like the appendix, what do we need it for? Other people say that's where the third eye is. You go back to the ancient, Dr. Mona Harrison talks about the fluids that came out of there for the Egyptians used, the almond color and serotonin, all of these things we try to take mass doses of now, but the noni releases it in our body in the amounts it's supposed to be. It even looks like the pineal gland. Thank you.
Oh, interesting. Noni is, of course, a plant that is now indigenous to the Hawaiian Islands, and according to Jim and others, it was imported, although it may be something that was brought back to this area after many, many thousands of years. People believe that where we are right now is actually the mountain tops of a much more ancient civilization, some call the continent of Mu or Lemuria. And perhaps these are natural plants that were bred and discovered and used in very, very, very ancient times. It sounds like this is a kind of one of those things that can be applied externally or internally, and it does do an amazing thing to nurture the body, the mind, and the spirit.
Yes, and maybe everything got blown off a few times because we are on a volcanic island from the volcanoes. But someone pointed out to me at the Hawaiian Health Fair this past weekend, on the next booth to mine, was that the noni is now growing in the crater up there where there's nothing grown. It's just lava, even before any other trees. It's just on the middle of the volcano. So it's just telling us, God and or whoever is telling us, that this is something that if the pole shifted or whatever happens, this is something you can take. And from what I've felt with the last 6 years, is if you take that, you don't need much more during, you know, maybe you don't need, you know, some people don't live on a lot of, if you have water and that and the sunlight and the minerals, who knows, from the ocean, who knows if that's enough for everybody.
Well, that could be a clue in case we do go into the big polar shift. If we have our supply of noni, some ocean water, a little bit of sunlight, we'll be able to make it through the other spiritual planes. Well, let's take another little break here, using Hawaii as our theme. Our first musical interlude was Tony Salvage from his album about Pele. And this one is called El Heart of the Matter by drummer Tiger Paw, and was recorded here, right here in Hawaii. So we'll be back after a little bit of Tiger Paw's Heart of the Matter. We've been talking with Jim Zarnowski here, who is a recent transplant from the mainland, but he's carrying with him some of the tools that transcend this very physical dimension, certainly transcend the mainland to Hawaii. And we're seeing that a lot of the ancients and ancient knowledges are coming back again. It's got new labels, it's got new ways of identifying it, but a lot of the processes that have been brought back up from the ancient Hawaiis, Hawaiians, known as the Huna practice, are very similar to some of the 10 holistic principles that Jim was talking about. And so again, it's not about how you define these things out here in Radio Land. It's more how you integrate them into your life. That's the most important thing. And about some of the things that Jim has been talking about, for the last 8 years, he's been a practitioner of what is something that's called the integrated energy therapy. And this is a technology, if you will, a spiritual technology that was developed by an individual. It was kind of brought this information in, channeled it in. He feels, this would be Stephen, what's his last name again?
Thayer.
Stephen Thayer. And this is a methodology that's been taught all over the world by Stephen Thayer. He's still out there doing these classes and bringing people through different layers of understanding. The layers themselves seem to get people to tune in to the angelic realms. And Stephen has identified 9 particular angels who he feels are the ones that he works with anyway, and that have given themselves historically to being the most, the healing of the angels. And some of the angels that you may recognize of the 9 that he's identified are the angel Ariel, and Raphael, Gabriel, Celestina, Faith, Cassiel, Daniel, Sarah, and, of course, Michael. These are all, some of them quite well known, and others that are a little bit more obscure. Each one of them represent a different aspect of the spiritual healing principle. Am I correct in assuming this, of Stephen's work, Jim?
Yes, that's true.
And so he's used this healing with the energy of the angels and establishing something between the individual or practitioner and individuals and the principle itself is called the heart link. And this seems to be the key element in this work. Now, you started doing this about 8 years ago, and you've developed your own techniques on top of that. Is that true?
Yes, I learned this right about the time he was developing it. He had been working on it for a while. He was an engineer at Bell Labs and then a Reiki master and then was given this awareness. And I lived about a few miles away, and that's when I was opening up in the early 90s and learned these methods. And then I went back many times and took the classes over, which we allow people to do for free if they've ever taken them with a person. Like, you can come to my classes, IET classes, again for free if you ever want to. You don't need to, but you can get the attunements again, and they expand, I guess, to some extent even more, but you don't ever need to go again. But I went back many times, and I didn't know what was happening, but then when the opportunity came to start teaching it, I was the first to take it out of the United States, and I took it to Ireland, and I took it to many countries around the world, New Zealand, Holland, the Caribbean, Bonaire, Puerto Rico, and Greece, and continue to do that. I took it to England, United Kingdom, and Hawaii. The second day of the year 2000, I taught a class in Kauai. And what it is a very powerful way of using attunements that are new on the planet. Reiki is a couple thousand years old. It's very powerful. It's wonderful. The energies we're working with IET clear physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual blockages. As well as the part about the DNA is more recently that awareness came in, although that probably was always happening. And I've devoted a lot of study and learning and receiving, if you want to call it attunement of DNA, myself since then. In fact, I couldn't find anything much about DNA activation a couple of years ago. And then because the awareness with IET was only about 2 or 3 years ago that was mentioned, even though the methods, some of them were started earlier. So after I came and swam with the dolphins here, I went back home on my computer and within a couple of days found about 3 or 4 or 5 different DNA kind of activation things, some through sound, some through going into the pineal gland. And I took classes and studied and bought sound, if you want to call it music, DNA activations, and found other methods on the planet. And most of them I've seen are about 2 to 4 years old. So that's something that we can do now, activate our DNA or turn it on in ways that we weren't able to do, to my awareness, maybe even in the 60s or 80s. And the scientists now say that only 30 to 40% of our DNA is fixed at birth when we're born. They used to say it was 100% fixed at birth. And they talk about things like 20 of our 64 chromosomes are what they know what they do, and the other 44 are, quote, junk DNA. Or everything the scientists say is only about more or less physical DNA. So what we're working with, what I'm working with, is physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, karmic, and all divinity, and our soul's purpose, DNA strands. And most of those are not visible. And some people are seeing it certain, I don't know where it is, in labs, they're seeing something kind of appear, I heard recently, around the other DNA strands, and they don't know what it is. It's like a mass or a bulk. They don't even know if it's, they can't see maybe yet that it's a strands. But some of these have not been shown to us yet with the instruments we have. And as Greg Braden says, everything we create or invent is really just something we already could do with our bodies or our energy fields, but we don't know that. Like it's airplanes, maybe we could travel through dreams or just ourselves or a computer, as many people say, is like the version of our own brain, how it has compartments and all that information's in there. We're held in crystals, which computers are made out of. So the work we do with IET and the other methods I use, the attunements is the key to the work. It's, you can have the books and look at them, but without the attunement, and what an attunement is attunement, at-one-ment, is something that opens our energy field and expands it so we can, if you want to call it DNA, or have more energy coming in through us. It's like if we had a nuclear power plant down the street and we try to take a wire 5 feet or 2 feet thick into our house and put a toaster in it, not only would it burn it out, it would explode because it's too much energy. So we transduce down the universal energies into our bodies as human beings. And these attunements and things that happen to us, everybody's born with a certain amount of energies coming through them, some more than others. It's different. Some people have been told by people that they put their hands on, you have healing hands, I can feel things, but we don't know how to use these things sometimes. So these classes will teach you how to use these gifts you have, but also how to expand and open them up. And they still work even for people that swim with dolphins all the time, because the people I've given sessions to on this island, especially the last few months and weeks, have felt things happen to them, even though they've been with dolphins a lot. So it's not that it's better or worse, it's that it's a different energy, and angelic energy with the IET and other methods I learned in Australia, Key Force, which brings energy from the center of the earth up around and through us, and the manifestation acceleration technique this weekend, which is breathing through the nose, activates 95% of our mind or brain, or what they call about, you know, universes, parallel universes, however you want to look at it. 90% is, we only know 10%.
90%, huh? And why the nose instead of the mouth?
Well, under that method, it's because we were born to breathe through the nose, and like the dolphins breathe, don't they breathe through their mouths, do they? So what happens is our cells or whatever is in our body, our brain, is really dormant, I think, or turned off, kind of like the pineal gland. The noni rejuvenates it, and we can become more youthful and healthier than we ever were with that. That this is with our brain, and our, which is, can also our channel to receive ways to telepath or whatever it is, intuit or manifest. That's why it's the manifestation acceleration technique, and it teaches a way to breathe through our nose. And now the nose flutes, I got three nose flutes last week, Hawaiian nose flutes. I had never really heard of them before. But that was explained to me by someone who has a 39th generation Hawaiian here, who I got them from, who made them, said that they use the nose breath because we sometimes speak or say things through our mouth that are either unkind or hurt people, or just, it's not as pure as through the nose. And with the manifestation acceleration technique I'm teaching this weekend, which came from Archangel Michael, it's actually 2,000 years old or more, but it's been being brought into the planet now. And that says that, you know, if you look in our nose, we see cilia and hairs, and they filter it. I mean, it's obvious. I was telling somebody today, when we used to go in bumper cars, does everybody remember bumper cars? It's like these electric things with a thing up on the ceiling. You ride around a glass-like surface of metal. But if you stay in there 10 minutes or an hour, my friends, when I was a kid, was a heavier guy, and his nostrils were all black on the outside down to his nose, his lip. You could, and when you blow, when I blew my nose after being on the bumper cars, or if you're in a polluted area, when I used to commute to New York every day on the PATH trains, ending in the World Trade Center for 3 years at the bottom, 10 stories down every day to walk up to the street, I would blow my nose and all dark black stuff would come out. So our nose filters things. So we're meant to breathe through our nose, not our mouth. And under this manifestation acceleration technique, it talks about that 80% of the world's population breathes through their mouth because we've become lazy. But that was meant for food and drinking. We're meant to take the oxygen in, which gets to our brain, and that's where the didgeridoo comes in dream time. The didgeridoo, when you do circular breathing, you're blowing all the time for half an hour or an hour or however long you're playing, and you're breathing through your nose. So all of these methods are telling us, as well as the dolphins. The dolphins take us down underwater, and this happened to me, and I've seen many people that are way beyond me, because I'm not doing as long as they have. They go underwater for long periods of time, and your breath is, you can hold your breath longer. So to do that, you have to expand your lungs and get into your lungs, but also you're getting into your brain more. You have more time, and one of the things is that this manifestation technique, and by the way, it's to manifest things, and it works. I can tell you stories of the class I had earlier this year after I left Hawaii and back in New Jersey. People have met a partner since then, got back a job that they told they couldn't have, even though it would have been illegal probably not to give it to them as a veteran. But a lot of these things switched. So they just released blockages and activated certain ways to manifest. But the whales do this too. Like you said, when I first got around a whale, and other people said their breathing went way down, but it was deeper. So when we take oxygen in the first, and we're not getting enough into our lungs, by the techniques we're breathing or just shallow breathing, we're just getting by, like to keep our heart pumping and things. But when we really fill ourselves up with oxygen by the proper breathing techniques, with intent of what we're doing with energies, we can then get into the other things. It's just like if you just eat enough to survive, you're going to lay in bed all day and not even walk, because your body will, that's all it can use it for, is to pump your heart and keep your brain going to breathe. But if you breathe, if your body's working better and better, then you can exercise, have fun, go to work. So it's similar with oxygen, but we don't know this. We weren't taught this. that if we don't have enough oxygen getting into our brain and our lungs and through our blood to then keep feeding the brain and rejuvenating it, maybe it's been dormant or barely functioning, that this is why it can work. So this is, again, an attunement, and these help us to do what we came here to be, live our soul's purpose.
It's interesting to note that as you mentioned, the dolphins and the whales, both over millions of years of evolution, their nose, their nostrils moved from their face all the way to the back of their head where the spine meets the brain. So the oxygen input comes right in there. One, perhaps the most critical part of our anatomy is where the spine meets the brain stem around the cerebral cortex. And so their evolution is to put oxygen right in at that spot. And the mouth then becomes just the receptacle for food. And just as you were saying, it's like an evolution that they're showing us or demonstrating to us as a physical mammal, what they've evolved so that we might learn from that. And our own physical anatomies give us the same clue. These are spiritual technologies that are thousands of years old, maybe hundreds of thousands of years old, that are now resurfacing. Resurfacing because there's more people on the planet now than ever before who are ready for this information. And they're ready for it in whatever way they can get it. And so all of this information is coming in. All these techniques are coming in full force now so that we can all take advantage of them, those of us who choose to wake up at this time.
That's true. There's another method I learned about with DNA activation, and that was going into the pineal gland with energetically, which is, again, what Noni does physically, and, again, doing the healing from there to clear out illnesses or blockages. And that's these things are intertwined with each other, the pineal gland, nutrition, the oxygen. But as you know, humans and most animals can live days, weeks, maybe even months or more without food, and we can live days or a week without water, but we can only live a few minutes without oxygen. And so why is that? Well, it's telling us that is, and you talk about the breath of life and Holy Spirit, and this is the breath, the oxygen, and the dolphins and whales are showing us they have to come up. They have conscious breathing. So think about what that means. Conscious breathing means that you have to consciously do it. So these methods are teaching you to breathe consciously, at least the beginning. Didgeridoo, if you learn that, circular breathing, you're going to be doing that. And that's an ancient thing, a healing vibration. One of the oldest, two of the oldest musical instruments on earth were one of the string instruments or flutes in Ireland, and the didgeridoo, but it's not a contest about that. But the didgeridoo with the circular breathing is teaching us. And the healing that comes out of that instrument with the sound and the vibrations is teaching us, again, to use our breathing through the nose like the nose flute does. And when I did that, it was a little difficult for me to get adjusted to it because you're blowing through your nose. But I knew it was good for me. That's why I bought three of them, because they are going to bring more oxygen in, and I want to be able to stay under the water longer like the people that I see with the dolphins. But even then, I don't know if they're breathing through their nose as much as they are through their mouth. You know, with a snorkel, it's with your mouth. It's okay. You're still expanding your lung capacity and taking more oxygen, and so you have extra oxygen. It's going into the cell, opening up your brain, than you did probably 5 years or 10 years ago if you weren't swimming like that with them. And people have told me, and it's happened to me, you can get in states with dolphins where they do energetic things with us, where you can stay underwater much longer and almost effortlessly stay with them because they're doing a lot of things. And that gets back to attunements. They give us attunements, as the angelic energy does. And each of these expands us, but they're different from each other. My awareness is we're each born with certain energies coming through us. Like I said, some people have very much. It doesn't mean they have to take classes or anything. But they may not know how to use it, or they may learn it from their families here, less kahunas and things, how to use it. But if we don't know, these methods will teach you how to use it, but also they will expand your attunement so you have more energy coming through you a little bit more differently. And also the central sun, my awareness is coming in. The photon band, which scientists only found out about, in the 80s? They never knew about that, and new planets being discovered. So this energy is coming into this planet, especially on this island. I feel it now. You go down the same road every day, and it just seems different every day. You see different things or don't see things that you thought were right there. They're there, but, you know, it's like interdimensional. So we can connect back and forth more with the breath and attunements to expand our energies coming through us. Again, like the nuclear power plant, we could take more and more of that energy directly into us that's already there. And the central sun coming into our solar system Some people say it's every 55,000 years or 110,000 years, or different cycles are coming due, but they all seem to be coming due around now. So anybody that's alive on the earth now is able to work with these energies. That's why we came here, if we want to wake up and do it. And the children being born know how to do it. They still have to grow up as human beings. We have to teach them certain things, but they already know more and remember more than we do. So that's why they begin names like the psychic children and other things, because they're able to do things and connect with this closer than we were. Maybe some of us were open all our lives, but we didn't know it. So they're also reminding us.
This is also related to another topic that's covered in the IET classes, which is called cellular memory, or clearing the cellular memory. You spoke about it earlier,
yes,
being that when we accumulate different energy blockages, now this could be from some trauma that we've experienced growing up through abuse or through a loss, or it could be something that's even carried over from a past lifetime. At least I believe that's true. So a lot of these techniques are to get clear with ourselves, our own energy fields, so that we can begin to experience the totality of our birthright here on planet Gaia. And that is to be spiritual beings having a physical experience.
Yes, Douglas, that's true. And maybe this would be a good time to go through some of those issues that we get out of your tissues. And so what I'll be doing this week, the rest of this week, up until the weekend and also during the weekend, is individual sessions if people want, which is a clearing of the issues out of their tissues and activating, bringing in their soul's purpose. And also, by the way, whatever a person releases is gone forever under this method, but also the client is the one that heals themselves. I'm not doing it, but what I'm doing is bringing as much energy as I can from all the places I've been on earth and asked and taking classes to be downloaded, as well as how I was born, to bring the energies through me to you so you will have more to work with. Like if you get a bigger snorkel or one that works more effectively or fins, you're going to have more energy coming into you. It's always your choice to release things or not, but it's not conscious only. Some people come to a session and say they don't believe in this, but by coming or allowing you to do it, they're consenting. So if you remember back again, quotes to Jesus, that when people would go to him and say, I have this problem, heal me. What would he? Anytime I heard that, he always said something back to them. And you would say, why? Why did he say, do you want to be healed, when they just said, please heal me? Because it's always up to them. And there were a couple of examples where he couldn't heal people. There was a blind man. He said, no, he came in with that. So it wasn't for him to heal it. Just like we can't heal our brothers or co-workers or friends that we want to unless they're ready to. So the classes involve attunements, and the integrated energy classes this weekend on Saturday, they're all in the afternoons. These three, there are three levels from 2 to 8 p.m. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. A person could take one or all three, but you have to take them in sequence. They activate DNA strands. The first class activates the physical and emotional DNA strands, so you can recreate, restructure, activate who you are physically and emotionally. And again, with the energies coming in on the earth and the fact that this method is very recent, that we can not only be as healthy as we ever were in this life, I think we can be healthier than we ever were, and that's happened to me. I feel healthier than I ever was and can do things and have much more stamina. And also in the first class, you learn how to clear nine areas of cellular memory, and you do a session and receive one and get a certificate so you can do these sessions on other people after that. The second day, Sunday from 2 to 8, I pick these times so not to interfere with the dolphin swims for myself and others, is the intermediate level, and that activates your mental, which is thoughts and beliefs, limiting thoughts and beliefs, DNA strand, and also karmic, which to us means past life things we did not finish working on that we wanted to experience as a soul in the human form. So let's say we wanted to experience betrayal, and in a past life, you don't have to believe in past lives for this, by the way, but if early in your life, whatever, you were betrayed and you didn't heal it, or you got poisoned or died or got turned in and killed for being a healer or something. So in this life, you may experience it differently. You may be able to do it through watching a movie or reading about a newspaper, or it happens to a friend or a cousin or someone in the paper, or you see a movie and feel the pain and anguish or heartbreak. So we could change our karmic experience so that we still experience it, but it doesn't have to last our whole life till we get over it, or many lives. And then the third day is all about activating your soul's purpose, so that you activate what we call your soul star and bring it into your body, so that you will live it more and more of your purpose now, be more aware of it, embrace it through the other areas, and walk in a being into the world. And that also, that entombment sets a message out to everyone on earth that's here to support you in some way in living your purpose. So people, places, opportunities, situations to come into your life now. These things happen anyway in our life, but they might happen once a week or once every 2 years or intermittently, but they will happen almost spontaneously each day, like they do to me now, by taking these classes and getting these attunements. We also teach about 10 ways to work with energy in the third class, including putting heaven to earth, beams of light and love, into the earth, from heaven to earth, anywhere you want. And they're permanent. They become bigger over time. You can measure them 1,000 neurons. They become bigger because they expand every time someone walks through them because their heart resonates with it. We teach about 10 ways to work with energy in that class. Besides adding that to a session, you get a certificate in that class to do sessions at that level. The intermediate level, you get a certificate and do a session and get one to do pullouts of energy with your hands through the energy fields, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, so you can clear all of the energy bodies. And whatever a person releases in a session is gone forever. And they'll feel overall more joy and peace and as their natural state of being and calmness. But right now, or in a minute or two, if it's okay, I'll go into the 9 areas briefly to tell you what will clear in the first level and what people will be able to do then.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. Well, before we get into those 9 areas, though, why don't we take just our last break here, a little musical interlude, from the album called Alchemy by Andrew Forrest, the album called Alpha Omega, which seems to be appropriate for what we've been talking with here, coming back to the base strands of DNA and soul healing. We'll be back with you in a few. Show here with Jim Zarnowski. Jim is here on the Big Island of Hawaii, and for those of you who are listening to the show and happen to be local, this weekend, starting at 7:30 on Friday night up at Sky Island Ranch, John Ocean's Sky Island Ranch, Jim will be giving a free presentation of this kind of information that we're talking about. He'll be able to be there and answer questions, and he's opening up these classes both Saturday and Sunday. Will be also held up at Sky Island Ranch. If you're listening to this and you want to know more information, either about Jim and his work, or even maybe set up some kind of an appointment for Jim wherever you are, or just to make contact with him by telephone, you can reach Jim's private line. It's a cell phone number at area code 732-775-7820. That's 732-775-7820. And up at the ranch, he's going to be staying there through the weekend and conducting the classes. And he does do the private sessions as well. But you can leave a message at the Sky Island Ranch phone, which here on the Big Island 808 area code, the number is 323-3999. 323-3999. So, once again, let me thank Photon.net for providing this bandwidth for this information to go out. Try and provide this as an informational pulse so that people all over the planet who might be listening and tuning into this will find one more way to access this very vital information. We all know that we're in a state of transition now. The planet is changing rapidly. Our consciousness is accelerating, and time itself seems to be accelerating. That's because we are more aware than we've ever been, and we are continuing to accelerate in that awareness. So we're looking for new tools and new techniques for which we can expand our consciousness even farther and broader. These are the times we live in. Many believe that all of us, at one level or another, chose to be here now for this very reason, because of these star configurations, this precession of the equinoxes, this sidereal season, which is now upon us. We're right in the middle of it. I'm kind of happy to be alive right now and looking around and seeing all these changes. I hope you feel the same way. Joy is really the key to opening up and in feeling everything to its entirety. And the opposite, of course, is fear, and that closes everything down. So the dolphins, the whales, the activity that we share here, the very island mystery and magic itself is all about getting into that state of joy and bliss. And Jim Zarnowski is here to help us to experience them with some of the techniques that he's picked up over his 20 years of study and moving around the world. So thank you again, Jim, for sharing this information. You kind of left off. You were going to give us some more insights on the nine levels. Do those match up with the nine angels by any chance?
Yes, the nine angels work on those areas. And just to clarify, it might sound that there will be. I will offer sessions the next few days through Friday. They can be 1 hour or less. Individual healing sessions for people to get the issues out of their tissues, and then. We'll see what people want to do Friday night. Friday night will be at Joan Ocean's Sky Island Ranch, 7:30 p.m., but it will be experiential as well as a lecture. You will have experiences there, energetic ones that we will do things. Then, if people were interested, I have a tentative schedule of classes, being the three IET classes, basic, intermediate, and advanced, on Saturday, Sunday, Monday at 2 to 8 p.m., and if people want the manifestation acceleration technique, in the morning of the Saturday, if you just wanted to do that one, or start with that one, with the nose breathing and manifesting, it's very powerful. It works with the toroid, which is something I saw very big in Glastonbury. There's something there called a toroid. It's a mini mountain, and it's very amazing things happen to me and everybody that's been there, walking up and down, experiences on the top, walking through a chamber 10 by 20 feet, a little tower, one side having no wind, the other side coming out 12 seconds later or so, having a 50-mile-an-hour wind blowing. And started snowing on the top, and a few feet lower it wasn't snowing. But anyway, the toroid we work with, cells of consciousness, and which crop circles are affected by. But the manifestation acceleration technique right now will be Saturday morning. On Sunday morning, I was offering the IET for pets class, which would be a way to heal animals, but you need the basic level IET class as a prerequisite. So if people wanted to learn how to work with their pets, and I work with some of the pets on the island, and people have said that, you know, they could see differences. So you'll be able to do that with pets. That class is on Sunday morning, approximately 8:30 to 1:30, so we could be ready for the IET class too. You don't have to take all of them. But if you want to take the IET for pets and animals class on Sunday morning, you need to take the basic level IET on Saturday afternoon, 2 to 8.
How does this apply to animals, per se, Jim? I can understand how we apply these principles to our own spiritual awakening. But how, then, do they apply to the animals' spiritual awakening?
The animals take on issues. Some of them do not hold them. They didn't come to have karmic or what you call soul-level lessons. They came more to help the humans that are in their life. So what happens is they can take on things from primarily two causes. One is the environment they're in, such as like if they're in a zoo or they don't get rest, or if a cat lives in a house where a dog's always barking next door, or the children are always playing with the dog and it can't sleep enough. So if they are not able to release to their own natural ways by exercise or sleeping or whatever they do or running, the things that are put upon them in this life, it will become overburdening to them, and it could even cost them their life. But the other way is they take it on from the people around them, usually their owners, or although it could be their caretaker or someone that walks them every day if the owner doesn't. And they will take on the issues and problems of that person, not because they want to hurt themselves, but because they love so much, their purpose came to love, that they would rather take the onus and even leave their body, than have the owner do that. And many people, I'm sure in your life, you know, in your families, people that were sick or had problems or emotional things, a lot of times the pets came and went, or that's why I've also heard for many years, this kind of explains it better, people tend, their animals seem to act like them. So there's much more detail given, but you also learn the energies of three animals, smaller ones like cats, how to do a session on a cat that day, and you will do one. You can do it absentee, and anybody that's taken these classes with me almost passed out on some of the, because the energies coming back is so powerful from the animals once you heal them. But the cats teach us how to become more intuitive and go within towards spirituality and be independent. And then you also do a session on a medium-sized animal like a dog, and dogs are more masculine energy. They teach us to go outward. And then you have the horses, the larger animals, which is more like whales too. You can always do a session on any animal after this. But we do it on the horses that day, and they are the pure spirit. They're both physical, both feminine and masculine, but they're neither really. They're pure spirit. They're proud, regal. You've seen them throughout society in the history. Kings, processions, when they're left to them, their freeness as a Mustang, which means a free horse, they are so regal and so much energy comes through them that they can heal us just by being around them. So that's what happens in that class. And then on the Monday morning, the Healing Angels of the Energy Field class would be offered. And that's a class to work with the nine angels that primarily work with the nine areas we're going to mention now. But you'll also learn that you'll learn to connect with the angels in that Monday morning class. So you can almost like having a telephone, or you can call them and talk to them and get messages immediately, spontaneously, the rest of your life after that. So some of you may already do that, but that's the way to really connect with that. And you'll also get an immediate indication and answer on all the issues you want now in your life right now from your own angels. So the nine areas we're working with in the first IET class is clearing guilt, which collects in the crown, and we release guilt, replace it with innocence. Because we're all innocent in the eyes of divinity, we came to have experiences. So the second area is distrust. We release distrust and replace it with trust so that you'll trust others, but also get rid of distrust of your own hearts, feelings, and intuition so that you'll trust them and take steps like moving to Hawaii or whatever it is, or starting a new career. you won't be as blocked. If we're really blocked and not trusting ourselves, we get into our mind and our ego, and we talk ourselves out of it. We have to analyze it more, think about it more, research it more, talk about it more, study more, save more money, finish that class. Wait till the kids graduate college. So whatever it is, we're going to imprint trust, so you'll trust your feelings and heart. And then the third area is release shame, low self-esteem, box self-expression, imprint spiritual pride, so you'll be proud to express who you are. The next area is releasing threat and imprinting support in place of threat. And then next area is releasing shoulds and should nots, which we take on from others. There are no shoulds and should nots. Like the dolphins, the whales, and the angels, the human beings came into the body to be totally free. Freedom is our most prized possession. We replace freedom in place of shoulds and should nots. Then imprint unconditional love in place of heartache, betrayal, sadness, disappointment, grief, and imprint forgiveness in place of anger, resentment, imprint ease in place of stress and powerlessness. Disease only means out of ease, out of harmony, lack of ease, and fear replaced with safety. Fear is actually the energy for change, but we use it as an emergency brake to stop us. So the key to this, again, is the attunements. The attunements that I give in the class, that I have opened up the energies and received them, will open you up so you can clear these things. So you will be clearing the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual levels of these blocks that, like the Titanic, were stuffed in our energy fields. It's kind of like if you have anger, and it destroys, anger goes to the liver and gallbladder a lot. So if your gallbladder is removed from anger in your energy field, but it's in the mental or spiritual or karmic or emotional layer rather than the physical, then that energy is still like a laser beam on your body. And it doesn't mean you got rid of it just because they took the gallbladder out. And sometimes people that have heart attacks or tumors or cancer and breast tumors, sometimes the tumors go away the next time they don't have any more heart attacks if they change your lifestyle or get a different career or sell that business they didn't want anymore, they inherited, because they don't need it. But these attunements will help you be able to take those steps rather than just mentally hear about them. You'll actually be living that in your life. So I encourage you, if you want to open up more and more, in addition to dolphin energy and whales, bring in some angelic energy that will expand it, your attunements and your whatever's coming through you, or just have a session with me, which is very powerful also, and will clear a lot of these things, then please contact me this week.
You use the word I am a lot when you describe some of the things. In fact, the name of your website is IAmPersonalTransformation.com. Do you relate to the I am energies as were brought through by some of the spiritual masters of the 20th century? How do you relate to I am?
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, I didn't have a name for that for a couple of years. I didn't know what to call it. But that just came to me more recently. But then also I had the email, I am Jim Z first, but then I am personal transformation. What that means to me is it's not about me at all. It's about anytime anybody looks at that or repeats those words or types them in your computer to go there, you are yourself, I am personally transforming myself. And that just came together again by being and holding and manifesting and being rather than doing. And in fact, when I tried to put personal transformation as a website, I had to use I am personal, a different name. So I am personal transformation kind of was in 3D, forced on me to look for something else, but that was really meant to be. But yes, the I am to me is whenever, and I teach this again, just remind people when I give a session or in classes, but you know, we all know this, but sometimes when people say I am a diabetic or I have chronic fatigue syndrome, they are again telling every cell in their body, every energy field, and all of their angels and guides that they are this thing, and they are helping to recreate it, or at least inhibiting healing it. And I mentioned that to someone over the weekend at the health fair, and they said, but I feel more comfortable this way, or they said something about they actually had heard that, but said it didn't work for them or something, so they still would say these things. But it's not that you're getting punished, but again, you're creating, and I happen to have seen the full movie, The Ten Commandments, which I don't know if I ever saw it years ago, but this past year it was on TV around Christmas season. And when Charlton Heston goes up to them, he starts to talk to the bush. It was in there too, but I know it's in the Bible and things, but it was, who are you? What is your name? If I have to tell people who spoke to me, what is this? And the response was, I am that I am. And so I am, but like I've explained it in my awareness, because, you know, whatever I say, you can take or leave, and whatever part of it resonates with your heart as being true to you, it feels good, is your truth. And just like you can read 100 books or people can tell you all kinds of things, I have hundreds or 1,000 of books at my house, but a lot of them don't tell you how to do things. They tell you how that person's life went and how happy they are now, but it doesn't explain how to get there. But these attunements help you to get there. And if that doesn't resonate with you and you feel the dolphins alone is enough for you, that's fine. I mean, everybody's on their own path, but you might want to try this because the I am is something everybody can use to just, you could say, I am healing something that you have been diagnosed, or I was diagnosed with this thing at one time. Because some of these things, like chronic fatigue syndrome, to me, it's, again, this is my truth, or ADD, and anybody I've talked to, that children either diagnosed or even doctors say, these things have no meaning. They are just words that were used to try to describe something that even the people that have it don't have the same exact symptoms. They have similar ones sometimes. So these aren't even illnesses. They're results of people having blockages, my awareness is. That, again, dis-ease, what does it mean? The only thing it means is out of ease, out of harmony, out of balance. And that's what the dolphins do and the whales. They put us in harmony and balance. Two different people in the world that work with dolphins, one for many years and now with sound. Another person, someone who worked with them from Japan and told somebody channeled that in themselves. Each told me that dolphins can take our energy field out of our body, heal it or balance, whatever you want to call it, put it back in. So that's what I think they're doing down there all the time. But we can communicate with them across distances, as well as being in their presence in the water. That's why a lot of times it seems with me, I don't see them when I hear them. And when they're around, they're not making the noises. So it doesn't have to be that you have to see them and hear them at the same time. And sometimes I think of something or ask them for something and they show up. But if I try to go find them, I don't always find them. So you've all had your own experiences, many more than I have. But the I am is something that you can always use to just, you could say, I am happy, I am joyful. I started doing that when I would say certain things about how I felt. And that will help to manifest that. And there was another saying, in order to create something in your life, just pretend it, and eventually it'll happen. That'll be what the reality is. And again, remember the psychic children said, James Twyman's emails, just pretend. but the I am is a part of that. It's I am healthy. I am healing something I was diagnosed with, but not I am have it or I am diabetic. That helps to solidify it in your energy field. So how can they, your angels and guides and your energy fields get rid of it when you're creating it again?
Well, it's interesting. I am is something I chose when I was creating my own personal website a couple of years ago. I called it I Am Dolphin Us.
Wonderful.
And it still applies because it was my own personal stories that was a transformational story of how I accepted dolphins as part of my own conscious being. And part of me even recognizes my own dolphinness. And so therefore, I am Dolphin Us. And sharing in that pod mentality, which is part of everything that's brought me here and everything that I represent. So the I am, well, it just caught my eye when I saw that. And, of course, the DNA activation is something that we've heard a lot of now. And you mentioned about the junk DNA. I think this is really fascinating information. Science is desperately trying to catch up with where intuition has led us. The activation of these 12 strands, which is part of the work of the IET work, is something that others have been paralleling with their examinations as well. So I think this information seems to be have a familiar tint to it. And even though it's been around for 10 years and developed by practitioners, it's doing pretty much the same thing as a lot of the different kinds of spiritual technologies and workshops. The Flower of Life, for example, is one who's taken people through sacred geometry to release and open up to some of these very same areas.
Yes, and that's what some of the AIDS children have not only are no longer have the, or HIV positive they were born with, not only don't have it anymore, but it's not in remission. They are actually immune to it, and they're immune to almost every other illness. So what they've done, and some of them have turned on 22 chromosomes instead of 20, like we had. So what happens is they're actually showing us that we can change and activate and get into, and again, this is only the physical strands. We can actually do things that we didn't do before. So another man told me a few years ago in Arkansas, I was at the Power of Thought conference, and he said that only two animals do not manufacture vitamin C in their body, a certain kind of monkey and humans, and that he had turned his vitamin C back on. So these are the examples of the kind of things which we don't even know what can happen with the Noni and the DNA activations, what our pineal gland can do. Edgar Cayce said that the life force came in through the endocrine system or the glands. So think about it. What adrenaline, how can that woman pick a car up off of, how can you swim with dolphins for hours and hours when you don't think you can, and or anything else you've experienced in your life when you get really scared or somebody just told you, wow, your mother just got saved from that cancer operation, so, and you just feel adrenaline. Adrenaline's only one kind of secretion. We don't even know all of them. But when these things are released, we don't know how ourselves control them. But we can do this more and more by activating our DNA and making ourselves who we want to be. We can reprogram. There's some methods you can reprogram. Your age, how old you are on this earth. And I've done going through that with a method, working with the pineal gland and taking two different kinds of classes with that. So these are wonderful energies that we can all work with. And some of us accidentally find them or know how to do them anyway, but not all of us know how to do all of them. So, again, they're very expansive. And the DNA is something that, even that is words that I don't even know what it totally means, but it's being used to somehow convey the idea that our makeup at a cellular and physical level and also energetically is affected by these strands. And I remember reading a book from Scotland that the person that had it only let me read it at their house because they only had one copy. It was very small distribution of it. And there it said something about only 2% of our DNA was activated. So again, with the breath, with the manifestation technique, breathing through the nose, whatever we can open up again, I don't know if it's 2% of our DNA is activated or 22 or 82%, but the point is scientists have changed their tune to say that we can now only 30 or 40% of our DNA is fixed for birth, since birth. So that's only the physical strand they're talking about. Maybe only 1% is fixed. Maybe they don't know that yet. Maybe the other 44 things we can turn on and be things we never were. That's how, you know, certain animals grow back certain parts of their body that are cut off. And I've been told certain honeybees in the bee hive can actually change which part of the hive, what kind of a bee they are, depending on the need in the hive. So how can that be possible? You would think when something is born or becomes, it is. So we're still learning what we can do.
And that's it. And where do you think this is leading us as a species on the planet, which and some of us believe are pushing ourselves to the very brink of extinction, we have to either change what we're doing, and these are the tools for change. And it starts from within, and this healing and balancing that will enable us to really enliven the totality of who we are in the physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and divine sense. And this is really the road ahead of us. Otherwise, it's going the other direction.
Well, we always ask a person at the beginning of each session what they want to focus on, or devote it to, or what do they want to create, manifest, let go of, activate, or release in their life. And the reason is, so that's really it. What do you really want to have or be in your life now? And ask yourself that over and over and run it by your heart, and whatever brings you the most joy is your compass. And you could talk about 50 books or 200, but if you just stay with those three thoughts, what do I want now, intend it, and run it by your heart for the joy it's going to bring you. Sometimes we have fears and things we have to go through to have the best partner. Maybe we're really afraid of that because we think we might be heartbroken. But if you keep focused on those things, that's where it takes you. So the DNA activations can help you do that. Everything else is just blocking us from that. And there are our own blocks that we're carrying around. They're not. Nobody outside of us is doing it. It's our own blockages.
Well, let's bring this full circle and wrap it up right now, because we've really gone through a whole kind of a compendium of things. We started with talking a little bit about you and the idea of the 10 holistic laws that you came up with and described. And what we've done is kind of gone through those laws individually and approached them from different perspectives so that people can get a real handle. But once again, for those listeners who may want to hear them one more time, those 10 laws, as Jim Zernowski laid them out about 5 years ago, were focus, simplicity, impeccability, joy, being, serendipity, manifesting, holding, navigating, and nutrition. All those is kind of the holistic way of bringing total health and consciousness to the physical being.
Yes, and by the way, anyone can download that off my website.
Once again, that website is IamPersonalTransformation.com. And Jim Zernowski, I really appreciate your being with us today and sharing this information. For any of you who would like to know more, do check out the website. And if you do happen to be hanging out on the Big Island this weekend and want to get into more of this information, Jim's got some fascinating things to share in person, and he's open for doing these sessions with people as well. Anything that you'd like to share with the audience as we close this up, perhaps maybe what you see is happening and unfolding in the next couple of years on our planet?
I just believe if you look into your heart's compass and run whatever brings you the most joy, go toward that and don't be taken off that course, and try to expand your breath, nutrition through noni and salt and mineral baths in the ocean and the water that we drink, and sunlight, which is healing water, fresh water, and attunement to universal energies. By doing that, you'll be much able to work as the dimensions, difference between the dimensions weakens and softens, and maybe even stops being differentiated. We're already going between dimensions, and I want to just share with you, Douglas, and everyone involved in today's broadcast and your station, aloha, and to everyone listening, aloha and mahalo.
Well, thank you, Jim. What you described is the perfect description of living in Hawaii. Plenty of sunshine, fresh water, beautiful multidimensional energies, the nutrition of the salt water, the noni plant, which grows here freely, the dolphins and whales, which bring us examples, living examples of what it's like to be in your joy and living through your intention and breathing fully the world around you. So it's a miracle that we're here sharing this. I thank you for sharing this time and space. I thank photon.net. And we'll be signing off, bringing you another show coming up shortly. I'm not quite sure who the next guest will be, but I promise it'll be somebody who will keep expanding this realm of awareness for all of us to share. So thanks again, Jim, for being here.
Thank you.
Randy, for providing the technical support. And aloha. See you next time. This is Dolphinus signing off.